Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll start with prayer. Pray your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us with another Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing us with the gathering we had last night as well. And blessing everyone in attendance here, as well as those that are on our prayer list. Thank you for your Holy Spirit being made known unto us. Thank you for the latter rain that's already started falling. And thank you for blessing everyone that's doing work all around the world with a strong hedge of angels and a zeal from on high to go forth and do more. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with that latter rain that helps us to glorify you. And thank you for removing all pride and anything that moves us off the path. Thank you for being so long-suffering as well. And thank you for blessing all those that are on the prayer list that are in need of salvation, healings, whether it's physical or spiritual or anything. And thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see your hand move so often. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to welcome some new people down there. It's we got Dan Ford. Looks like he's from Romania. Somebody, it appears somebody pulled in the driveway. Nope. Nobody pulled in the driveway. It must be the runner. There's a guy that runs around out here on the road. And for some reason, I've got my window open in my office, and so the dogs are on the front porch barking. Sounds like they're barking right in the back of my head. So, but I take it there's somebody. Yep, the runner. We got to watch for him. He knows. He comes up and down our road because he knows that we control the dogs to some extent, so I guess. Anyway, I think I just heard thunder. That's good. That'd be nice. Okay, again, I want to welcome the new people. We've got Dan Four from Romania. Donnie, obvious from our neck of the woods, and then Ronald from our neck of the woods, but I don't know where Jim M. and Margaret are from. That doesn't matter. Well, you want to welcome you anyway because... hopefully you're from the same family of Christ, the eternal family. Hope and pray that you're blessed this Sabbath day with the rest of us. Okay, so we're at question 21. If you're new, just scroll down underneath the chat room. There's all the questions. And the answers, of course, are left blank because this is also the baptism studies. So we're on question number 21. The question is... Okay. In reply... Jesus declared that those whom Satan has bound may be what on the Sabbath? And thank you, Brother Gordon. And Luke 13:16 says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You know, this study goes on to share, before going further, it goes on to share Matthew 25:35-40. I just assume read it all. Rather than, I think it's got like a little excerpt of it for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, it says this. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took ye in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Have you noticed how Jesus makes the needs of his obedient children his own personal interest? So many fail to remember. He walked among us 2,000 years ago and knows all too well about the trials that come upon us. I mean, how would you like to be sick 18 years? How would you like to be sick at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years? Some of us have been sick for years, yeah. But there's a wonderful blessing at the end of that. Always is. There's a wonderful blessing during it, too, because it helps your faith get stronger and stronger and stronger. It changes you. You know, because by beholding we become changed. And if you stay in the scriptures, your sickness or whatever trial you're in, it doesn't have to be sickness, it could be anything, any kind of major trial, will bless you. Hindsight's always 20/20. We were talking about that last night, I think. Or was it Wednesday? Anyway, our Lord regards anything that comes against his flock as something that is coming against himself. The other toss of the coin is, any blessing, big or small, is also seen as a blessing offered unto himself as well. So, just as the physical health weakens by inaction, the spiritual health suffers just as much from inaction. And I can attest to this on both sides of the coin here, because I remember when I was a very young Christian, I read the Bible every day, yeah, but I had a tendency to skip through it real quickly. I just read it because I figured it was a duty. Whether I was getting anything out of it or not, I just read it. I think I did that for the first 6 months, maybe a year. I don't remember. I remember before I left the Catholic Church and I was reading the Bible, I was reading it properly then. And not because I was a Catholic, don't get me wrong. What I mean is, I was reading it properly in such a way I was looking for answers to shut those people up that kept telling me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic. So I was really digging into the word then. And then when I finally found out I was in the wrong church and I left the Catholic Church and I realized I had to read the Bible every day, I had a tendency to skip through it because I figured, oh, well, I already figured out the truth. You know, I'm out of danger now, so I'll just read this Bible like I should. And after about 6 months or so, I started noticing things started getting a little, or maybe a year or two, things started getting a little bit, weak. And it's just like with, especially when I went full-time in the ministry. You know, I'm not out and about, walking around a lot every day and, like you would do in a normal 9-to-5 job, no matter what it is. Unless, of course, you're working behind a desk, like that's what I do now, all day long. And so exercise is very important there, too, because I didn't want to lose my strength, physical strength. So, just as physical strength weakens by inaction, the spiritual strength is going to weaken by inaction as well. The lazy Christian that lives for self alone eventually is going to come to a place where he or she even becomes unhappy with himself and then with everybody around him. You know, at times, one can even see this on their faces, and I know of a precious soul who has lost two sons that all day long, especially when she's around family, let's say, like a gathering, all day long she just sits in a gloomy place, and not many people want to be around her because of her constant pessimism and despair. In fact, you don't even have to be one who has experienced such trials to get to such a place as this. I mean, many look at the signs of the times as a reason to despair, when in fact they should see them as filled with joy because it proves Jesus is coming soon. We're almost home. I mean, it's called a great and dreadful day for many reasons. Yeah, it's great for us because the eastern sky splits. We get to go home. It's dreadful for them because the eastern sky splits and they're staying behind. But the same truth applies even before that day comes. There's people out there that are walking around in despair, seeing all the things that are happening, and they're all scared, and they don't want life to end because maybe they just won the lottery or something. Or maybe they just got a great job, they're making tons of money, or they just bought a brand new car, or whatever the case may be. They don't want the life on earth to end. They love their life too much. And so they start getting depression or despair, because they know what they're looking at, even if they don't consciously recollect what they're seeing. I mean, there's people popping Prozac every time you turn around now in today's world. And that's the powers that be that are under the control of Satan. That's their method by which to calm the people. It's kind of like what Hitler did with the fluoride that he put in the water before he literally started flexing his muscles. And then the people were already so complacent, or couch potatoes, as we call them today. They just let them take it over. they didn't even care. They didn't want to get off their backside to go out and try and stop them. I mean, some did, of course, the dissenters, if you will, and they were shot and killed. You know, it's just like what we see happening in America. And it's not just the fluoride. I mean, there's all sorts of medications, you know, legal and illegal drugs. And as far as I'm concerned, the legal drugs are just as deadly. As a matter of fact, they're more deadly. I just did a little thing on this yesterday, and I put it on the site in regards to how the AMA drugs kill more people than the street drugs do, like heroin and heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine combined. But that stuff's legal. And so that's how they get away with it? I don't get that. It's crazy. That's today's world. So, those Christians that step away from self and seek to be a blessing to others in whatever way they can will reflect the love of Christ, and souls will be affected. Courtesy, patience, love, kindness, joy, and gentleness will characterize such a person and will most assuredly cause those sent their way to experience it as well. You know, it just figures, you know, I got the window open and everybody and his brother wants to do a drive-by. What was that? It sounded like probably an ATV or something like that that just drove by. So I apologize. It's the first time I got the window open on Sabbath day. And it's the front window. It's not the side one. That's the one I should have opened because that's where the bird feeder is and all the birdies are out there. So, you know something? We have all seen. I mean, this is just, oh, that was a motorcycle? Okay. But we have just seen, like in, I would think all of us have seen this in our lives. I mean, we've heard about the suicides. I remember the first time I was a kid and I heard of Judy Garland killing herself. Or that that woman that we used to go swimming at her house when I was a kid. I can't remember her name. That actually was the first suicide. Her husband was cheating on her and she committed suicide. And I thought, why? I couldn't have been more than 10 years old, and I'm sitting there going, why? Why did you do that? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then when I heard about Judy Garland, I thought, wow, man, that woman was rich. See where my mind was at? You know, she had everything she could possibly want. I mean, we have all seen how the rich, they often have times of great despair. Some so deep that they actually do commit suicide. The basic reality in this is, like us, they too are created by the same God who knows that those who labor hardest to secure their own happiness are often miserable. There's a reason for everything that's in each and every one of our lives, whether it's good times or bad times. Sometimes the good times can go on for years, sometimes the bad times can go on for years. It all depends on how you react to that test that he's giving you. I remember the 1,011-day house, and the only reason it lasted 1,011 days, and yes, we counted the days, and the only reason it lasted that long is because I was boneheaded. It took me that long to realize this was his will. This is where he wanted us to be at that time. It's just like with people that are sick. It's just like with people that have just lost their jobs. It's just like with people that just got good jobs, whatever the case may be. That's where he wants you at this time. I mean, the sooner the Christian people, I mean, and you can't expect this of the atheist or the Sunday keepers and the Muslims and all the Jews and stuff, the people that don't love God or even believe what he wrote in his Bible, can't expect it from them, but from the real Christians, you know, the ones that obey him and trust his word. It's strange to see them where they don't catch this sometimes, that he has them exactly where he needs them to be. I mean, you read the Bible, you know that he's got control of absolutely everything. I mean, look at the snowflakes. Every one of them are different, and there's trillions of those in every snowstorm. Trillions of them. That's just one planet, by the way. There's trillions of galaxies. I don't even know, what is it, a quadrillion after that or something? I don't know. How can you even contemplate how many planets there are? And I won't even go where to try to figure out how many humans there are out there on those other worlds. And no, I'm not talking about like little green men that come floating to this planet. Those are aliens. Those aliens that the people call them, those are demons. The Lord has not given anybody permission from those other planets to come here, nor do we have permission to go there. I mean, the Van Allen belts prove that. We couldn't have even landed on the moon. As a matter of fact, they just had documentation come out about a month ago proving we never went to the moon. Some very reputable scientists. But then again, most of us already knew that because of the Van Allen belts and all this other stuff. It was just a political ploy so as to have win the space race. It was all it was. It was just all a big lie. And now, and now today, this post-9/11 world, we know they lie. So just look back a little further and you'll see even more lies. But and even if they had, and which they do, I mean, look at the angels going from New Jerusalem to planet Earth, see Daniel falling into the lion's den. They go back to the city of heaven, tell the Father what's going on. He gives them instructions. They go back and close the lion's mouth before he hits the ground. So I would assume the people on the other planets may have some means by which, if they asked an angel, can you get me there, they would. But they wouldn't want to come here. This is where Satan was cast. This is the only planet in the universe where he's been cast. So this is why you have sin here. This is one of the reasons we all on this planet have a special blessing from on high to do something for all eternity for our Father, to glorify him on all those other worlds that Paul speaks of in the scriptures. But most people miss that point because they're so dazzled by that brand new Porsche or that fancy Rolex watch or whatever the case may be. Not realizing, you know, that stuff's eventually going to rot. It's going to get rusty. It's going to fall apart. You're going to drop it, whatever the case may be. Something's going to happen. So, it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, that I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, yeah, to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It always, whenever I read that, it always reminds me of the rich man and the poor man. Both in the gate. Poor man, of course, is on the ground with his hand out. Rich man's walking by and acting like they don't see him. They're both being tested. Will the rich man help the poor man? That's his test. The poor man, will he get angry if the rich man doesn't help him? It's kind of like when I used to go hitchhiking when I was a teenager. He didn't pick me up. I changed fingers that I was using. Instead of the thumb, I used a different one. I was a jerk, like most of the guys I hung with. So we all have our tests. And no, it's not about money. I mean, yes, sometimes giving money to the poor is good, but lending a helping hand, being there for a friend, or simply giving someone a hug when they need it most can make all the difference in a person's day. And I say day because this is a day-by-day activity. Life is just day-by-day. You can get healed tomorrow. You can get blessed tomorrow. You can get tested tomorrow, too. Things can turn around in a New York minute. I mean, Jesus does not call us to walk as he did for one day or for a week. All too often, some believe it is best only to do the good deeds on Sabbath day. I remember when I was a Sunday keeper. That's when you made sure you walked the way you should. You go to church and it's all these and thous. You genuflect when you get to the pew. Yeah, I was Catholic. Make the sign of the cross. Dip your finger in some holy water. Take the wafer. Walk out. Smiles. Oh, shake the hand of the priest. Good homily. Good homily. Go home. And then get back to the way you were with all the sin. And sadly, a lot of Christians still do that to this day that are Sabbath keepers. They're only Christians one day a week. But Jesus did things 7 days a week, 365 a year. When you give Christ lip service, you will do as little as possible on one day a week. When you walk with Christ, you do as he does daily. Those who forget about self and place their Holy Spirit prided interests on others will always have such blessings mirrored right back upon their own hearts when they do so that it just boggles the mind. I mean, it just makes your smile grow ear to ear. Seriously, how many of us have had joy well up in our hearts after helping someone in need? All that we have been given by our Lord has been given us on trust. And we're tested in each and every... And it's not just the tithe. You make $100 that week, guess what? You only made 90. God gave you the extra 10. Actually, he gave you the whole 100. But he's only telling you to give him $10 back out of that 100. You're tested even there. And sadly, most people don't even get that one. They worship their money. And these are people that are sitting on mountains of it. Never tithed. And then all of a sudden they come to the realization they should tithe. And they don't even think about the money that they got sitting on that underneath the mattress. It's amazing. And this is why the church grows as slow as it does. And it's not just about money either, because this strange world, we do need money to get the message out. You know, tracks cost money, DVDs cost money, billboards cost money, whatever the case is that we are called to use. And praise God, we pray, he gets someone to send it. But he asks three or four people sometimes, and only one sends it. Still, even though we do this because it's the right thing to do, and we do so for the good of others, and even though he rewards us with his approval, he rewards us as though the merit were all our own. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that something? He gives us the credit a lot of times, even though we're going to put our crowns at his feet anyway. Because we know there's not, we can't do anything without Christ who strengthens us. You know, there's, to God be the glory. So in short, it is not the greatness of the work which we do that fosters the blessing or his approval. It's the love of Christ within us compelling us to do as his Holy Spirit moves us that wins the approval of our Lord, our Savior, and our King. So question number 22. Maybe I can get through this one quickly. Hopefully. It says, the Sabbath is to remind us of what? And the answer is found in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I'm going to read. And it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, not the 7,000th year, like some preach, or seventh, you know, well, actually, they go further than a millennium, because that's 1,000 years, but they, anyway, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And then the study goes on to share, through nature, we may be brought closer to our Creator on the Sabbath day as a weekly memorial of God's perfect creation. The Sabbath hours may be appropriately spent in a contemplation of his handiwork as well as in communion with him through Bible study and prayer. So, in 6 days, our Lord may all that is seen and unseen. And no, like I said a minute ago, he didn't take 6,000 years to do so, as some claim. I mean, the scientific fact remains there are certain insects and certain plants that simply cannot survive without each other. Problem is, insects and plants were created on different days. But had they been created in different millenniums, as some claim, those plants and those insects, they would not be here now. And as for evolution, you know, which also is falderal, it's actually you got to have more faith to believe evolution than you do to believe creationism now, thanks to scientific research and stuff. But those of us that walk with Jesus already know we don't even need the scientists. But thanks to the advances in science, it really takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation, because there's no evidence to back evolution at all. You literally have to have nothing but faith. And there's so many things that blow it out of the waters. Everything from polonium-214, you know, those little halos that are in every chunk of granite you can find in everybody's backyard, to the fact the monkeys are still here. I mean, seriously, if we evolved from monkeys, why are they here? How come everything else that they say evolved from a different creature, what it evolved from, no longer exists, except the monkey? It's really, really goofy. And the weird thing is, a lot of people believe it. It's like Hitler's friend, like his number one man said, if you tell a lie long enough, people are going to believe it. So again, he did all we see in six literal days. And then, as it says in his word, he rested on the seventh day. Our God looked with satisfaction upon the work of his hands and saw that all of it was perfect and then rested. And no, he wasn't tuckered out. He was simply finished because all that was needed to be made was made. And again, no, I'm not saying he's done doing that either. As scientists have recently confirmed, the Orion Nebula is actually designed to cause planets to be born. Well, that's their definition. They don't realize that he is causing planets to be born. You can still see them. I shared a video and some other interesting info on the on this nebula last year, as some of you may recall. And to answer the question, if he was finished, how can you say he is done making all that was made? I mean, certain facts about what and how he created all things we may never know until we get home to New Jerusalem, of course. But as far as we can understand it, if he created all we see, and when a new planet is made, it will house those very same created items. But you know, be they plants, animals, or simply dust, as most planets in our solar system have. And why do they only have dust and stuff like that? I look at those as, I guess you can't really compare this to computer programming, because there are subroutines and stuff like that you do build in certain programs to keep things stable. But it's just, or look at the human body, for example. Some people say, well, what's the reason for the appendix? Let's just get that thing out of there. But there's a reason for it. It's just like, you know, that ball of dust they call Mars, or that, you know, that ball of gas you call Orion. Or not Orion. Jupiter. Yeah, that one's, I don't know, it's got an awful lot of gas in it. And then just the way they're in the solar system, they pull, they tug, they push on each other with the gravitational situations that are going on. And Saturn actually, those rings, who knows how that's made, and, you know, they say it's a bunch of little, like, meteoroids or asteroids and stuff. I don't know. I'll check it out on our way home. I'll just say, hey, can we stop by Saturn and take a look? I'm sure he'll let us see it, because he will allow us to look upon that which he has created. And it doesn't say this in the word, but maybe that's why it takes us 7 days to get home. But anyway, the thing is, there's a reason for Mercury or Venus or Mars. And I mean, even though there's no life on those planets, they keep our planet in orbit as well. I mean, think about it. If those other planets that are behind us weren't there, wouldn't we kind of like just continue on into space and just leave the orbit of the sun and turn into a ball of ice? But because we're being pushed by the other gravitational pull, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I'm just saying, there's a reason for them to be there. There's also a reason for that asteroid belt, and I honestly believe that asteroid belt was created during the days of Peleg, when this planet swelled, because our gravitational structure changed, and then that planet exploded, and now became an asteroid belt. So another example is, yes, he finished creation, but women still have brand new babies to this day. Are they giving birth to new species every 5 minutes? No, those babies are human, just as dogs give birth to dogs, cats to cats, and birds to birds. Will he make new creatures for other worlds? The Bible does go into detail on this, but it doesn't go into detail on this, but I am 100% positive we will know all about that when we get there. So it's not a salvation issue. It's not, you know, need to know kind of a situation. So, okay. So after resting, kind of figured I'd go a little long on this, but after resting upon the seventh day, as we also know, God sanctified it or set it apart for holy use, as well as a day of rest for man. Following the example of our loving God and Creator, man was commanded by him to rest upon this sacred day. So in so doing, it lets us look upon the heavens and the earth that he made, which in turn causes us to reflect upon God's great work of creation. When this is done each Sabbath day, like we're doing now, man will have a tendency to get close and even closer to his Creator, causing the evidence of God's wisdom to be seen as it should be seen, and man's heart is then filled with love and reverence for his Creator. I mean, you could literally be deaf and blind and without the ability to speak, and you could still glorify God by keeping Sabbath, because you would be doing things in the presence of others on that day of the week. It would be different. They would see that you somehow do things differently on the Sabbath. I mean, even in the Garden of Eden, with all its splendor, our God saw that a weekly Sabbath day was absolutely essential for man. Our God knows we need to lay aside our own ways, thoughts, and work for just one day out of seven, so that we may fully contemplate the works of God and meditate, or as commandment number 4 dictates, remember his love, his power, and his goodness, and his creation that he made, which we are a part of. We need this, and every Sabbath, to remind us just how much he loves us. I mean, seriously, look around, and you see all that man needs is given him from above, from the oxygen in our lungs to the soil beneath our feet. He truly is a wise and all-powerful Father to his creation. And by the way, when the foundations of this earth were laid, so was the foundation of the Sabbath laid. Such an institution as this demands our reverence and unquestionable loyalty, respect, and obedience. We're on the planet, relying on it 100% to be able to breathe in and breathe out. So, this day was ordained by a God that created the planet we're standing on. Absolutely no human power or authority can claim this day or take it away. No human traditions can take its place, because it was established by the Ancient of Days, and he commanded it, he set it apart, he sanctified it, and he made it holy by his eternal word that also made everything. He spoke all things to existence. No man on earth, not even those dying angels, you know, talking about Satan and his friends, no creation whatsoever that's wandering about the universe, well, Satan's obviously stuck here with his friends, but they can't change the basic and eternal reality that God created all that is seen and unseen, from the soil under our feet to the stars above. The Sabbath is no trivial human holiday or tradition. It is the Sabbath of a Creator God. No getting around that. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.